It's 13 past 9 at Racing HQ. Our first guest on a Wednesday is jockey down in Victoria, Chad Schofield. Morning to you, Chad.
Morning, Andrew.
Good to talk to you, mate. I understand you're looking forward to a bit of a venture overseas.
Yes, I'm heading over to ride in England for a period of 3 months. Really looking forward to it. And I leave pretty soon. I leave next Sunday, so not long now. And I can't wait to head over there and learn a bit more, gain experience, and hopefully build some contact.
And where are you going to be basing yourself, Chad?
I'll be based in Newmarket,
yep.
And I'm primarily going over to ride for Ed Dunlop.
Gee, that's a great stable to get into, Chad.
Yeah, he's great. He's been very, so helpful and keen to get me over. So big thank you to Terry Henderson from OTR Racing. He's really set it all up, and he was the one that got it all going. So very grateful for his help. But it's great to be able to get into, and hopefully I can fit in nicely and do well over there.
Our listeners on a regular know me when I talk about Newmarket. I've had the honour of being there two times for holidays, and it's just a marvellous horse place. Have you been there before, Chad?
I've heard that, but I haven't been there before. Obviously, it looks just awesome, so can't wait to get over there and see what it's like.
Okay, so you leave this Sunday. You're there for 3 months. Gee, you're going into their cream time too, aren't you? I don't know whether you've picked this time, but going into their summer period, it's Group 1 racing nearly every weekend over there.
Yeah, that's right. Obviously, the weather starts to get better now, and I've been able to secure one of the better managers over there in Tony Hind, and he does Ryan Moore and a few of the other top jockeys. So with a good stable behind me and a good manager, hopefully I can slot in nicely.
And is this something, you mentioned 3 months, but is it something you've wanted to do, Chad, to get some more experience?
Yeah, definitely it has been. Obviously now in Australia, the carnival moves to Brisbane, and I've got a few horses heading there, but nothing really to sort of keep me back. I'm going to go over and get experience, and maybe I can fly back for the bigger races, but With throughout the week, the races turn to winter racing here. It's no better time to head over.
Yeah, for sure. Did you catch up with Ed while he was here last week with Red Cadeau?
I saw him briefly at the races on Saturday at Randwick, but I had a quick chat to him, and it's all looking good and not long to go now.
Well, the one thing with Newmarket that that surprised me when I first visited, Chad, was that the horses have got the right of way. Normally it's the other way, but it's such a horse population that cars pull up when horses are going walking across roads and things like that. It really is a town. It's like a little country town, but it's so just heavily populated by horses.
I've heard that, and I've obviously seen a few photos and programs on TV in the past, and it looks pretty awesome. Can't wait to get over there and see what it is.
No, fantastic. No, you'll love it, Chad, for the 3 months or whatever period you're over there. Are you looking now? You mentioned that you haven't got a lot of big rides coming into the Brisbane Winter Carnival, but do you feel also, Chad, that having won a Cox Plate and you've had bad falls along the way, that you've been looking for something like this too?
Possibly. Yeah. I've always been happy with how my career's unfolded and how I've been going. But like I said before, the midweek racing now in Melbourne drops a level.
Yep.
Obviously with the carnival finishing up, and so I'm going to head over now for 3 months, and I'll be back for the start of the new season. So I feel the timing's right, but I definitely have. I've always wanted to sort of go and ride a bit overseas, and I think I'm at the stage now where I'm ready to do that.
Yeah, fantastic. No, we wish you the best, mate, with it all over there. I hope it's a great trip, and you gain so much experience from the stable of Ed Dunlop. And as I say, I'd be surprised if you don't pop up on some other horses there as well, given that there's just so many trainers in that area. What have you got for the rest of the week? I know you're at Seymour today for a couple. You ride Saturday and then you're off?
No, only next Sunday.
Oh, so Sunday week.
So okay. I'll ride here in Melbourne, and next Saturday I'll ride in Queensland.
Right.
And then I'll head off the day later.
I'm glad you mentioned Queensland, because Lloyd Williams told me earlier you're riding Green Moon at the Gold Coast.
Yeah, that's right. I'll ride Green. Good to get back on Green Moon in the Hollandale, and hopefully you can run well and press on to the Cup a couple of weeks later.
Can you win a race today at Seymour? Reframe probably looks the best of your hopes there.
Yeah, I've ridden that horse his two runs this campaign. Both runs he's hit the line very well and suggested that he wants a mile, and he gets the mile today. So no doubt he's going to be finishing hard, and hopefully he can get over the top.
Yeah, let's hope so. Chad, good luck. If we don't chat again between now and when you leave on Sunday week, I hope you will really enjoy it there come the three-month period under Ed Dunlop at Newmarket, mate.
Thanks, Andrew.
Good on you, Chad. Chad Schofield joining us there from Melbourne. A great experience for him, and we wish him all the best. And, yeah, he does ride Green Moon. It's probably going to have two runs in Queensland, according to owner Lloyd Williams, the Hollandale on Saturday week, and then the Doomben Cup. And he did tell me also the forgotten horse, a bit Faulkner, is spelling for the spring. We're not going to see that horse until the spring. Well, what about this yesterday? Kevin Sweeney deciding to finish up riding in races. Kevin, I can't believe it.
Yes, Andrew, it's 100% true, mate.
Well, did you go to the races yesterday thinking that this was going to be the case?
No, not at all.
So take us through your day then. What made it all develop?
Well, Andrew, we'll go back to last week. I had some nice rides at Wagga on Sunday.
Yep.
And I had people sort of in the rumour mill saying I'm over the hill and too old and things like this. It's the same as Jim Cassidy, I suppose. And had some nice rides at Wagga on Sunday and come home with three winners and two of the feature races. And so I got a chance to rub bit of mud in people's faces there. Anyway, I was really looking forward to the Wagga Carnival. Had two nice rides, one in the Cup, Bits of Virtue, and got the Goss, a very promising horse in the town plate. So I picked a ride up in the first at Nowra yesterday and managed to get suspended on it. And then went out for the second race and got thrown to the proverbial.
Yeah.
And after that, I thought, well, you know, I think I'm being told something here. And once I got suspended, I was going to miss the World Cup Carnival anyway. So that was all down the drain. So I thought, I think it's time, you know. So I let my partner live, you know, and rang my boys. And that was it.
And that was it. Kevin, I can hear it in your voice. You're quite emotional about it, and that shouldn't come as a surprise to any of us. Some stats that were released by the Jockeys Association overnight on social media, they've got you having around 10,655 rides, 1,216 wins, and 2,193 placings. Now, I presume they've got those stats through the Riser system where they keep them all. Do you feel those stats are about right?
Could be about right, Andrew. Yeah, I don't know how far those ones go back.
Yeah,
I've never kept records myself, to tell you the truth. But, I'd say as far as they've kept those sort of records, I'd say they'd be right, yes.
Kevin, I hope you don't mind me asking. Can I ask how old you are?
61, Andrew.
61. As Jim Cassidy tells people, I'll decide to retire when I want to. I guess you hear the little rumblings, oh, he's showing signs he's had enough and all this sort of stuff. But I know that probably yesterday the incident with the hook coming off the horse and things like that has told you and you've made your choice. But, mate, you're 61, but you ride like a 40-year-old, mate. You get out there and have a crack.
Well, as Jimmy says, we're pretty fit. We keep ourselves fit. I consider myself as fit as any of the boys around here anyway. And it's a success-driven industry. If you're not riding winners, people tend to seemed to drop off the bandwagon. And that's what's happened to Jimmy, I suppose. You have to come back and write another Group 1 winner.
Yes, let people know about it.
You have to let him know he's still around. And,
yeah.
And that's what I sort of done on Sunday, and I got a very big kick out of that. And it happened yesterday. I thought, you know, I think it's time. And because it was going to set me back another month.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get a roll on.
I'd
write a few winners, and then I'd get suspended. And it just makes it so much harder when you're getting up in years, you know.
We're talking with Kevin Sweeney, who retired yesterday. How many years have you been riding, Kev?
I'm in my 46th year now, Andrew.
46, so you're 61 and you're in your 46th year, mate. You were in it from a young boy, weren't you?
Yeah, I rode my first winner at 15 and back in 1969. Yeah.
Whereabouts, Kev?
I rode my first two winners at Hawkesbury, Andrew.
Righto.
For my boss, Reg Cook, who was Pete Hook's uncle.
Fair dinkum. Yeah. Gee, that would have been a great family at the time.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Billy Cook and Peter and Reg, yes.
Yeah. Kevin, you're based, you know, you team up regularly with Keith Dryden and the like there. And Keith's numbers have sort of been up and down, I guess, in the last few years as well. Like it is in racing, isn't it? It is hard going to maintain what you've got to find that elusive good horse and to jump on that horse as a jockey.
That's right, Andrew. It's very competitive out there these days. And, of course, jockeys travel everywhere.
Yeah.
It's not just country jockey against country jockey now. It's country jockey against Sydney jockey and everything like that. So, you know, it's very competitive. And if you're not having the success, it's very hard to get going, you know.
Kev, do you want to stay within racing? I mean, have you looked at training? Have you looked at being a foreman somewhere? Or hopefully we don't lose the quality of Kevin Sweeney in our racing ranks.
Not at the moment, Andrew. I'd never train.
Yeah.
That's one reason I kept on riding, I think.
Too tough, mate, is it?
Oh, yes, no. I've seen that side of it. No, that's definitely not for me.
Yeah. Mate, it must have been... I don't want to make you emotional, but I guess yesterday when you walked away and obviously made this decision, it must have been tough to just pack that bag up and walk out for knowing that was it.
Oh, yeah, it was tough, Andrew. Saying goodbye to the boys in the jockey's room. That's the part of it you miss a lot, you know, that camaraderie in the jockey's room. And me being a bit older, they have a bit of fun with me at times. And I just take it on the chin, you know, I don't get it. You know, they don't mean anything.
Yep.
It's all in jest, and it's all good fun, and that's part of it all, mate.
Kev, we thank you for your quality as a jockey in those 46 years. I've only known you probably for the last 10 to 20 years of that, but, mate, you've been fantastic just for us on TV when we're at the tracks. We don't take it for granted that you blokes just come out and do interviews with us. But from many people listening to us this morning, Kevin, congratulations on an outstanding career. We don't want to lose you to racing. We'll see what happens in the near future, mate, but well done on everything you've achieved.
Thanks very much, Andrew.
Good on you, Kev. Kevin Sweeney, who rode in his last race yesterday at Nowra, and as I say, 1,216 wins, 2,193 placings, and around 10,655 rides. And overall, he is just a champion bloke. Saturday's fields, 13 in the all-aged and 9 in the champagne. There's no major admissions. Those fields should be out in the next half an hour. Peter Moran, leading owner, is joining us from Outback. I think he's in Queensland somewhere. Good morning to you, Pete.
Morning, Andrew.
Very thanks for joining us, mate. I just wanted to get an update on a couple. We spoke off-air earlier this morning, but this time for our listeners, Cluster, we haven't seen for a while, Pete. What's the story there?
Cluster's been retired. He unfortunately did a suspension back in work this time, and the injury was too severe to sort of pass on with. He's a 4-year-old stallion, and to give him 9 months out would probably be too much, so we retired him, and he's been sold to Neville Murdoch in Victoria to stand.
Okay, down at Larnook Stud in Victoria. So he was going to have an autumn preparation with this when this injury occurred, Pete.
That's right. You know, the horse was still racing well. He was, you know, not a big gross horse, so he still had athletic, you know, he's still an athletic type of horse. had his mind on the job. He wasn't that cultish. So we're going to give him a go. Peter Snowden, who was training him, was quite happy to bring him through another year. But horses are horses, and they do this to you.
Gee, going back to the early spring of last year, he was back to his best, wasn't he, with his runs there on particularly the Theo Marks to beat Ballpoint and Ninth Legion that day?
He's a very good horse, Andrew. Unfortunately, he never won a Group 1, but if you go back to the races that he raced in Group 1, he had the best sectional times, and he had a lot of bad luck. He sort of missed the start, and he got stuck in fields, but I think 9 out of 10 times in those group races, he had the best sectional, so that tells you how to turn a foot. Look, I think it was sad telling him. If I was a bit younger, I probably would have stood him myself, but he had turn of foot, he had attitude, he had constitution, he was a lovely horse. And I think of all the Fastnet Rocks that have gone to stud, he's out of an Australian-bred mare, that Fastnet Grand Gretchener, who was a black-type mare. And I think you go back through all the other stallions, Foxwoods and Smart Missile and Your Song, all out of American mares.
Yep.
So you'd have to say, with his turn of foot constitution, look, he's a huge chance of making it as a stallion.
Yeah, for sure. He's out of that damn Tarcoola Diamond by Fastnet Rock as a four-year-old, so retired down to Victoria. I reckon he'll prove a pretty popular stallion because he was a beautiful horse to look at, Pete.
Yeah, he was one of those horses that caught your eye, and he had such a passive nature, you know. He would never turn a hair at the races, so if he passes that on, you know, he should be good. But, look, I think he's a bonus to the people in Victoria, you know, to have a stallion of his quality go there. But let's hope he does it. Let's move on. We'll have another poll this year, Andrew, so we'll cross our fingers again.
What she had, Pete?
She's got a Fastnet Rock filly, Ewing. Only breed her every second year. When they get a bit older, I only breed my mares every second year. And she's got a Ewing by Fastnet going to the Breakers next week, and then she's back in foal to Fastnet due to foal in August.
You just obviously, you know, you love your own owning horses. You obviously feel that she clicks with Fastnet Rock.
She does. She clicks with Fastnet Rock. I actually bought the mare to go to Dewforce, who was staying in my race.
Yep.
And we had bred Inkling out of her. And Inkling was a lovely horse. He unfortunately bred in the Coolmore last year, and we sold him to America. We still own 25% of the horse. And he was just as impressive a horse as Costa. And I think you'll probably see the best of him. And, you know, they can race him on latex in America. And Les Ward, I think his name is, in America, is going to train him. A very good trainer in Kentucky. And the horse is on his way there at the moment. He's in New York at the moment. So I think they'll come through. But, yeah, she clicks very good with Dewforce and Fastnet, you know.
That's Inkling you mentioned. Did he bleed last time? And that was something that you had on your thoughts there, Pete. Why not go to America?
Well, that's right. When he bred in the Coolmore, it's very hard to get them back, and very hard for trainers to train them properly when they bleed, and you've got to sort of, you know, to win a Group 1, Andrew, you've got to train them hard and properly, you know, and to do that with a bleeder, you've got to muck around a bit. They can do it, but I thought, well, we had the offer there, that they sell three quarters, I think we get 25% of them, and so we took it, and I thought, best thing for the horse, and if it does work, best thing for the mare, if he could get a group race in America, and a good thing for Dewforce as well,
you know. Yeah, exactly, for Dewforce over there. Gee, you've had some downers here with Cluster retired and Inkling off to America, and it doesn't stop there. As an owner, I guess you never quite get used to this, but your two-year-old colt Paceman, it's had a little operation as well recently.
Yeah, well, Paceman, as you know, his first start came out, and he was one of the favourites for the slipper. And he came back in the Silver Slipper, and he didn't produce. He just stopped halfway through the race. And we couldn't work it out, and Peter freshened him up and put him in the Pago, and he did exactly the same thing. And Peter's only thought that he might have swallowed his tongue or something, so he put a tongue tie on him, but in the Pago, but it didn't make any difference, and we couldn't work out what was wrong with him, so he sent him for a spell. And we went over him, and he came out, and there wasn't anything there, and we just scratched our head, maybe he needs gelding, who knows, you know. And then I just, the other day, I was talking to the vet that does her work, John Crowder, and I said, he was going down to where he was selling to do another horse for me, and I said, just pull the rug off him, run your hands over him, and sometimes things surface after a while, and he had a bit of fluid in his knee on the x-ray, and he had four chips in his right knee, so we took those out yesterday, actually, and so hopefully, if his lead leg in Sydney, And if you look at the films, when he starts to go into that sweeping bend, that's when he loses interest.
Yep.
And that's when the weight would have gone on that leg. And we're pretty confident that was the problem. He could never get, you know, never sure in this game. But let's hope that we can get him back and to what he was. He was certainly a horse that had a lot of ability. And if we could get him back to that, I'm sure it'd be well worth it. We're probably going to lose a bit of time now, but trying to work it out last night. He may get him back for the Coolmore down the straight on Derby Day. But anyway, we'll see how we go with that.
Well, mate, as an owner, you've got to have these dreams. And when a radio bloke rings you and you tell me Cluster's retired, Inkling's gone to America and Paceman's had 4 bone chips removed, mate, you probably don't want to come on and talk about it. Have you got a positive for us, Pete?
There's always a winner around the corner in this game. It's a drug, Andrew. You don't give it up. And the old saying, you never commit suicide while you've got an untried 2-year-old is very true in this game. You pick yourself up, dust off, and have another go.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, you had your fortune with tickets due forth, staging segments. You've had some really nice horses through it. Pete, I hope that we're talking about the Clusters in the years to come, that he's done his job there. We appreciate your time. Where are you in Queensland?
I'm in the desert at the moment, so we're going out to have a look at a couple of yearlings I've got down here, so... you know what it's like, Andrew, living that dream still.
No, mate, live it, and I hope it turns around off what we've discussed this morning. Hope everything goes to plan. Thanks a lot, Pete.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
Peter Moran there, popular owner, and he's had some bad luck with some horses, but we'll wait and see what the Clusters do when he stands down in Victoria at Lanark Stud. Philip Stokes is joining us now. Philip, good morning to you in Adelaide.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew.
Phil, just thought we'd get an update on Hucklebuck, given that we haven't seen since the spring when he went bang, bang, bang to win the Durbridge, the Yellow Glen and the Emirates. You've really mapped it out that you only wanted to target sort of your carnival in Adelaide.
Yeah, well, we'll see how he goes in the Goodwood, which I'm sure he'll run well because his trial last Friday was very good. He's taken good improvement out of it. And if you ran well in the Goodwood, I may consider setting him up to Brisbane.
Okay, so the Goodwood will tell you. Mate, if you look back at that Emirates and you won it and you beat Lucky Hustler, doesn't that give you some confidence going into it, the Goodwood, given what Lucky Hustler did at its first up run this prep?
Yeah, exactly. The form around, you know, him is good, so that's all positives going forward.
Exactly. So is he a different horse or is he, you know, is he maintained what he had in the spring?
No, look, he's actually come back stronger. He looks better than he did in the spring. So, you know, everything's pointing to a, you know, good campaign.
Yeah, that's good. So the one trial last week, will he trial again? When is the Goodwood now?
The Goodwood's on the 16th of May.
Okay.
And he'll have another trial probably 9 days out.
Yep.
Similar to what I did when I backed him up into the Emirates, that's just take the freshness out of him.
Yep. Well, he really showed, didn't he, in the spring what he's capable of. He needed a prep like that to convince, I guess, a few putters that he was out there really wanting to do it, and he showed them, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He went through undefeated. We got the timing right. You know, the travelling was good. He sort of sometimes can be a little bit difficult to travel, you know, but everything sort of panned out really nicely.
Yeah, for sure. Mate, have you got a... So Goodwood, and that will decide whether you head there for a Stratty or something like that?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, we'll wait for that then, that next trial. May 16, the Goodwood, worth $500,000 there. How's the rest of the carnival going to be for you, Phil? Have you got a couple of others that'll step up as well?
Yeah, I think so. I've got a couple of fillies stepping out this weekend going towards Oaks. A filly called Coachella and another one called Try Your Best. I think they're quite nice fillies going forward. I've got a three-year-old called A Clear Choice, who seems to be improving all the time. He ran second in the Bendigo Guineas the other day.
Yep.
I think he's got a good win in him. Of course, called Dylan Sunny. He hasn't been doing too much wrong over the mile, so he's another one that might step up.
So you've got a good group of them there. And what's the feel like in Adelaide with the carnival approaching? It's in the middle of everything. We've got so much good racing on at this time of the year. How's it sort of, you're getting good promotion of it coming up?
Oh, you can never deserve some more, I suppose. But no, look, you know, the better horses are here and, you know, the noms are strong. So no, it's all going well.
Have you got a winner today?
No.
No?
Oh, no, look, I've got a filly going around for Tony Stanchik. Yeah, she's an each-way chance in race 2, I think.
Righto, that's Balaclava and race 2. Just for people that may just want to have a listen to it, that's race 2 number... Is it race two? There it is. Race two, number 10, Campai. Philip, we'll stay in contact with Huckleback. Which are the best with this preparation coming up?
Thank you very much, Andrew.
Phil Stokes there from Adelaide with Huckleback. It's 20.